welcome to the 22nd and final episode of Season 4 of the Ubuntu UK podcast. And it's our Christmas party.
Oh, very festive.
I love the smell of these.
Oh, yeah. It's Tuesday the 20th of December 2011, and in this episode we're going to review last year's predictions and make some new ones. And we're going to do our Christmas play. I'm breathing in gun smoke now.
I've got streamers on my mixer.
And we will, of course, cover the latest news events, bit about Ubuntu, and go over your feedback. If you're listening live, you can send us messages using the chat facility on the website and in the IRC channel. I'm Laura, and with me this week are Alan.
Hello.
Tony.
Hi.
And Mark.
Hello.
So, Alan, what have you been doing since the last show?
I went to my local Linux user group, the Surrey Linux user group, and
But you live in Hampshire.
I know, but they had their meeting in Hampshire. So, yeah.
That's not very confusing.
And I said I'd give a talk about something. I prepped a talk and I was all ready. And then my laptop's rubbish, so I couldn't get it working on the projector.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ow.
Actually, it's...
Your fruit-based laptop?
It's not because it's a fruit-based laptop, all right? It's partially because NVIDIA, and I was using the Nuvo free software driver.
Oh, yes.
And that doesn't do multi-screen. So I thought, I know, I'll install the binary NVIDIA driver, knowing full well that that was the stupidest thing I could have done because I had my laptop set up in EFI mode and the NVIDIA driver doesn't work in EFI mode. So you just get a black screen and that was it. I completely hosed it while I was about to give a talk. So that all went horribly wrong. So I reinstalled my laptop in BIOS mode instead of EFI and now it works.
What was the talk on? Possibly.
Building your own derivative of Ubuntu. I thought that would be topical. Yeah. I'll give it next time. Maybe in the new year when we have our next meeting and my laptop has been tested.
You can talk about doing QA on it.
No.
Mark.
Hello. I've been releasing lots and lots of code because I've been doing lots of programming over the past few months and it's the Christmas holidays now, so there's no one around to ask me to do things. So I'm releasing all the code I've been writing while I'm not too busy.
You release it on a Friday?
No.
After the pub.
There might be some done on Friday, but I'm doing it throughout the week.
Is this all Moodle code?
This is all Moodle code, yes.
Excellent.
Cool.
Where do you put your code? GitHub or something?
While I'm developing, I stick it on GitHub, but where Moodle.org has its own plugins database, so I submit it there to actually release it.
And you get like your own page and you can see all of the stuff you've done on one page?
Yes. Well, you get a page for each plugin. There is a way of getting me as a developer and everything I've released by... I haven't found the link for that yet. I've seen one for someone else, but I don't know how you get to it.
Oh, magic. Maybe you have to pay.
Tony, what have you been doing?
Oh, I've had all sorts of problems with my computer. Alan was talking about the NVIDIA Nuvo thing. I had to go the other way. I had to go from NVIDIA to Nuvo in order to get screen calibration working in an ARIC, which I had upgraded to because my computer didn't work once I'd upgraded to NATI, which I'd upgraded to because something else didn't work. Although it turns out it might actually be a hardware problem. So Alan's very kindly brought around a spare PSU for me to test. And see
which doesn't work.
Which, yeah, probably doesn't work.
That'll require you to upgrade to 1204, that power supply. Yeah.
So my productivity has been somewhat hampered in the last week by this, but you know.
When you said profiling your display or something.
Yes. For photography, for calibrating.
Getting the colour balance.
Getting the colour balance, right, yeah. And apparently the Nuvo driver doesn't work. Sorry, the NVIDIA binary driver doesn't work with an ARIC and profiling. It doesn't support the right extensions. So. Yeah, that was a bit of a faff. What about you, Laura?
I learnt enough Perl in 2 hours to write a Perl script that did more or less what I wanted and ran without errors.
Wow.
And I was very proud and very smug.
What did you want it to do?
To go through a file and pull out certain bits of it and put them into a different file.
Okay.
Data processing. Ideal.
Excellent. And you start that from scratch?
Yes.
Well done.
It's the first time I've written a Perl script from scratch.
Yeah, if you can't do it with bash, sed, and awk, then it's not a real script.
I did start with that and I couldn't work it out to get started. I have done it before, though, with bash, sed, and awk. I just couldn't.
Right, so we've got a very special panto coming up later in this show, but we'll crack on now with our predictions.
Th- this time last year, we also had a podcast where we had predictions for what was coming up in 2011. And I'll just go through the ones that we said last year to see how wrong we were. It starts with me. I said there'll be loads of cloud distros like Chrome OS, Jolly Cloud, Peppermint OS, and they're all going to fail. I don't think any of them are going to go anywhere because people mistakenly think they want more than a browser.
Well, you got the fail bit, right?
Yeah, nobody's bought them, have they? Really? No. Chromebook. There's one Chromebook, isn't there? One or two Chromebooks?
Yeah, Chrome's the only one that seems to still be active. Yeah, I might be wrong about that.
No, Jolly Cloud is active, and I think I still see tweets from the Peppermint OS guys. So they're all active. I don't see, go into a shop and buy them.
No.
That's good enough, so I win. Forget about all of yours. Laura said, cloud OSs will provide offline modes.
I was clearly struggling for something after you came up with yours.
I think, actually, Google have just recently enabled this for calendar and documents and stuff.
Yes, I think they did.
Because we talked about Google Gears.
Which went away.
That's been retired. But I think they've re-enabled some offline HTML5 stuff.
Yeah. Oh, so is that how they do it now?
Yeah. So you're partly right there.
Yeah.
One of them has provided an offline mode for one of his things. Yes. Mark said...
Oh, dear. What did I say?
You said OggCamp 11 will happen.
Oh.
Well done.
Well done.
I wonder how I knew that.
Yeah. And you also said a popular mainstream app will become available through the Ubuntu Software Center, like Photoshop. The kind of thing people say, I won't move to Linux because of this missing app. I'd say a big app or a game. Maybe a Linux native version of something.
Okay, so that didn't happen.
No, well...
We have seen some stuff turn up that you have to pay for in the software centre, though.
Yeah, more games.
That counts.
Yeah. Well, I suppose so, yes.
Nothing perhaps of the profile of Photoshop or something, but...
No.
No.
You know, nice try.
Better Online, does that count? It's quite big, I guess.
Possibly, yeah.
Simon, who is
no
longer here, yes, remember him. He's far too busy playing Minecraft now. He says there will be increased security awareness. People turn off their AV... with WikiLeaks and Anonymous, people might be more aware of their data. There'll be more installations of Ubuntu and people will be more secure.
People turn off AV?
I don't know. I paraphrase that.
AV?
Antivirus.
Antivirus. Oh, I was thinking alternative vote. I was thinking, well, people definitely turned off that.
Yeah. definitely didn't work. People are more aware of their data? I don't know.
I don't think people are more secure. I don't know. Maybe. Tony.
Hello.
Patent wars will get nastier, not nicer. Well,
yeah, I think that's true.
Yes, with the news coming up, yes. A Linux vendor will have to pay up or remove software.
Yep.
Really? Has that happened?
In our news thing? There's the HTC stuff.
Possibly. Something in a file system or a driver or something fairly central and ubiquitous, and someone will go after a distro. So I guess going after Android.
Yep. Yeah. I count that as a distro.
therefore, you're right.
Yeah,
I see.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the predictions, I win.
Oh,
only joking.
Tony wins.
He has got that sound effect and he's not afraid to use it. we also had loads of predictions from the community. I'll pick out a few. A lot of people obviously said 2011 will be the year of the Linux desktop. Yawn. the year of Chrome OS. Now this is interesting. First two releases of Unity and Wayland will bomb.
There hasn't been a release of Wayland yet, has there?
No. Fedora will ship with Wayland and not get credit for getting it right. Oh, and get credit for getting it right. Two Ubuntu releases, one around Easter sometime and one sometime near Halloween.
Yeah, well done, Dan 7.
Ubuntu will switch to something that isn't Firefox.
Oh, well, there has been talk of it, hasn't there?
There has been talk of it, but we haven't done it.
Ubuntu
will lose market share to Chrome OS.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think that's happened. Canonical will release its own browser.
Definitely didn't happen.
No. And probably one or two more. Mike said a new GNOME shell-based community derivative of Ubuntu will be released in reaction to Unity. Also,
more on that later.
Canonical and an unknown company will release an Ubuntu tablet in Q3 of 2011. General release in Europe, doubtful in other areas.
That's quite specific.
It is very, yes.
Give it 12 months, though.
Sorry, Mike, no. That was all very interesting. But what about next year? Let's start with you, Laura. What do you think is going to happen in the next 12 months?
So my prediction is that projects that are going after mainstream market share will realise they need to be more innovative about their user experience. in order to be competitive with the mainstream app that already exists. So things like LibreOffice just keep trying to catch up with Microsoft Office. And I don't really think it's working.
It's not about features anymore.
It's not about features. And the thing is, if you're trying to catch up on features, it's just an ongoing battle, and you never have time to do anything more innovative because you're always playing catch up. So I think we need to stop trying to match up closed source products and just try and be better than them with things that people really want. And before people say, I think this is what Canonical's trying to do with Unity, and it'll take time to see how well that works. But I think that's what everything needs to be doing.
Mm. There's the thing about Matthew Paul Thomas said when we interviewed him, you know, you've got to, in order to overtake, you've got to catch up first. And it's interesting to see that, you know, arguably we haven't perhaps quite caught up yet, but we're certainly thinking about the next steps down the line about how to overtake. Mm. I just breathed in some ribbon screamer from the party poppers into my mouth. I might remove that.
Is that your prediction for next year?
No. It's a really interesting idea.
I agree with you. I think it will. I think you're right. I think Canonical design team are pushing this from the desktop point of view, and some of that will rub off on apps developers. I think they'll realise they have to up the game.
Mm. Isn't part of the problem that you can't get a consistent view of the innovative user experiences across these applications because they all come from different places? So, you know, you have LibreOffice maybe doing one thing, Unity's doing something else with the desktop, you know, another application might be doing something else with their UI, and they all look a bit kind of disjointed and what have you.
Well, that is true, but I don't think that's the issue here. It's more that, say, LibreOffice LibreOffice, OpenOffice, whatever, just seem to be going after Microsoft Office. And in the meantime, Microsoft Office has taken leaps forward, apparently, in its user experience. So it's just this constant catch-up game, and it wastes so much time and effort from developers.
Mm. Yeah,
I agree.
Okay,
cool.
Alan, what about you?
I think this time next year, Canonical will have 700 employees. It's currently, I was 492.
Okay.
About a month or so ago. I know, that's not on the list. I just made that one up.
We're all looking puzzled for a moment.
If you're starting to add predictions, we could all be in trouble.
Yeah. So that's, so I reckon we'll gain another 200 employees in the next year.
Which is quite a lot. That's a lot, yeah.
And, one other. I predict that a big name OEM will be shipping Ubuntu laptops, which will be easy to discover on their website, and they will provide direct support for them. It will be a first-class citizen like Windows.
Which OEM?
I wrote down here a big-name OEM.
So we're talking about Tier 1, Tier 2.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, not Joe Mickey Mouse who's making PCs in his garage and he sells Windows.
You're talking about something like Dell or HP.
Someone who's got a global presence. Everyone knows the name. It's not, you know, some Mickey Mouse startup somewhere. Not that there's anything wrong with Mickey Mouse startup. But it's a known, that's my prediction, it's a known brand.
Someone with weight behind them.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
To provide choice to their customers, and maybe their customers are demanding it.
But hasn't the problem been, even with Dell, that Microsoft, give them special discount rates for saying they're exclusive, which is why Dell had to bury their products on their website?
I'm not sure that's the actual reason they bury the stuff on their website. What I heard before I started working for Canonical was actually that they have all these products that are certified to work with Ubuntu, and it's up to the regional VPs to decide what products they sell in that region. And if they decide they don't want to sell it, then it doesn't bubble up the list on the website. It's as simple as that. They're all there, they're all certified, and they'll know these things work with Ubuntu, but the individual, like European area and the Asia and whatever, or even down to the country level, just choose not to sell them because they don't think they'll sell in their country, and so they don't appear on the website.
But that's possibly an internal communications problem, isn't it?
I don't know what the reason is, but the fact is, well, as I understand it, that's why they haven't bubbled up as much as they could. So I predict that will change for Anno again. So how about you, Mark? What do you think?
I have a couple of things in mind. First of all, I think that someone will write an open source H.264 plugin for Firefox so that
you can playback.
Yeah, so that you can play, if someone's got an H.264 HTML5 video embedded in their web page, it'll play in Firefox. Nothing to do with Mozilla, but just a third party, you know, an add-on you can download and install.
Isn't that already there? FFmpeg can play H.264 videos, and that's open source, but it's patent encumbered.
What's the H.264?
The codec you get in basically anything that is vaguely looks like Apple.
Yeah, it's the codec which Internet Explorer and Apple and Chrome support for HTML5 video, but Mozilla don't and will not support it.
Because of patent?
Because, yeah, basically they say, well, their guiding principle is that they won't put anything in their software which might open up their users to patent problems and so on.
Which is a good standard
to have.
But it does mean that they're kind of on their own with a browser that doesn't necessarily support those standards.
And it means that, yeah, there isn't a standard video format which is supported on all the popular browsers because they support WebM, but Internet Explorer doesn't support WebM natively and Apple won't support WebM for their own reasons.
Hmm. That's a tricky one because it is open source. So are you specifically talking about the patent problem?
No, I'm just saying that they'll... Well, I tried to find this. I tried to say, right, where's something that I can go to... I can go to a website and click on a thing and it'll install something which will then let me play
video.
H.264 right. video, and there wasn't. Oh. So my prediction is that there will be something like that.
Oh, I already thought there was, but we'll see.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's already there. Maybe I'm retrospectively predicting.
One way to guarantee you're right, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And my other prediction is that Linux Mint will make a change to its desktop, which a vocal group of users will disagree with. Possibly the same vocal group of users who are currently disagreeing with Ubuntu's desktop.
I think that's a pretty good prediction.
What kind of change do you reckon they think?
I'm not sure.
Do you think they'll bottle it and go GNOME Shell?
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be something to do with transferring to GNOME Shell and the customizations they make to GNOME Shell.
Right.
But I'm not entirely certain yet.
Mm. What are Fedora doing around now?
I don't actually
know. They ship with GNOME Shell.
Do they? Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty much, you know, vanilla. They are kind of seen by many as the GNOME desktop.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, they were one of the first live CDs to have it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember now.
Tony?
Yes?
How's your prediction coming along?
Okay, I predicted that we're going to make some more predictions next Christmas.
Well done.
Okay, and I had a good one, which is that I predict that Ubuntu One will start a video streaming service during the next 12 months.
What kind of video streaming service?
In the same way that Mark can no longer access Love Film online, it'll be like that, except it'll work on Ubuntu.
So you're talking about not as in you'll put your own video files in Ubuntu One and you'll be able to stream like you can with your audio at the moment. You mean you'll be able to sort of pay-per-view or subscribe to some sort of...
Like Love Film, content. Like Amazon.
Like Love Film, but through Ubuntu One. It'll be a bolt-on Netflix. To some third-party service. I'm not expecting them to...
Right. It'll be a branded Netflix.
Accessing at home, ripping DVDs.
No, I can totally see that. What CD do you want? Cigarette hanging out while he's ripping the DVD. Yeah.
I've got the whole set of 24 box sets to go through.
I like that one.
Yeah, I think that'll be quite a nice...
Interesting.
Logical development. So we've had some suggestions from the community. We have had some suggestions from the community.
Yeah, go for it, Tony.
Okay. Chris Willard made a number of predictions, one being that all issues with Unity will be fixed. Oracle will release a mobile phone OS to rival Android.
That'd be fun to see.
Grease will be sold on eBay. .deb will be the standard package format for Fedora. The Ubuntu UK podcast will be broadcast live from a boat.
I would love
that. I like the way he puts at least once.
Yeah. Well, as in we're going to move the studio to a boat because
we
love it so
cool.
much.
That would be
cool. I like
cool.
the sound of that. Yeah.
A canal boat and we can move up and down and Neil and
Do
Amy,
you know what?
Amy Ferguson could come along and help us move up and down the locks.
Do you know what? There's a boat She's opposite a Millbank that is a bar.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Can you get Canonical's Wi-Fi from there?
27 floors up and across the river.
It doesn't have to be great. So. We're used to it.
I like the sound of that. I like that. A bar which is also a boat.
Do you think we can make that prediction come true?
Being, yeah, I think we can on a boat. To being
I think
a bar,
we can do that.
A bar and a laptop.
I think we can make that happen. Even if it's just us going, we're on a boat. And that's the only bit of the show.
I'd love to do some more live shows next year. I think that would be cool.
Yes.
Let us know if you're organising an event or something.
And then, yeah, we'll rock up and hijack it. Any other good things?
Yes. Super Injure.
Super Engineer.
Yes. Well, if he wanted to be called Super Engineer, he would call himself Super Engineer. He says that he's the internet interplanetary spokesperson, and he predicts that ratings for the Ubuntu UK podcast will be X Factor and Strictly Come Prancing.
And that the well, they will now that both of those shows are off the air.
Yeah,
and that the yeah, we're rocking.
And so are we. And the Wing Commander will get his own show, which I can definitely see.
Yeah, I can see that, if he doesn't already.
Yeah. And IBM have made a few predictions as well, which are quite interesting. Well, various interesting. People power will come to life. IBM predicts that people are going to be powering all their own devices by pedaling.
Yes, kinetic energy and water flow and stuff.
Yeah, a bit like the Charlie Brooker thing that was on TV the other week. You'll never need a password because you can use your fingerprint or other biometric stuff to get in to your computers. Mind reading is no longer to be science fiction. They really think you'll be able to do all that sort of stuff within 5 years. The digital divide will cease to exist thanks to mobile phones. And junk mail will become priority mail because it'll be so personalised and targeted that you'll actually really want to receive it.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's what IBM think is going to happen.
So if you have any predictions for the coming year, email them to podcast@ubuntu-uk.org and we'll laugh at them next year.
Stop doing that. It's now time for some news.
We have to disarm Alan from the party bubble first.
I have a party bubble, I'm not afraid to use.
Streamers on my screen now. Microsoft have added an exemption to the terms of its Windows 8 App Store developer agreement to make it easier to distribute open source software through the App Store. Developers using an OSI approved license can opt out of Section 3 of Microsoft's agreement where the agreement would otherwise interfere with distribution of the software.
Didn't I read somewhere that they specifically excluded GPL3?
I don't think they have a site. Well, basically, it says that your open source software can't require any other Microsoft software to become open source.
Right.
But I can't see many instances where a GPL app being distributed through the Software Center would create that, unless there's something which stops you being able to distribute it through a closed
system. Well, unless when you supply software through the App Store, you have to have part of their code in there. You know, like when a Nintendo game goes out, it's got Nintendo code in which makes it licensed by Nintendo.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
And so by embedding that Microsoft code that puts it in the store, makes it then...
If that's the case, then yes, it would be.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty cool because it does, you know, there's actually a full clause that says if you're using an OSI-approved license, then this part of the agreement doesn't necessarily apply to you if it's getting in your way.
Excellent.
Which is quite cool.
Yeah, that's good. Lovely.
The party goes on.
OpenStreetMap have launched a donation drive so they can buy some new server hardware. The funding target is £15,000 and the amount currently raised stands at just over 90% of the target.
That's really good. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was 85 just yesterday when I looked at it, so it's climbing pretty quick. Yeah. That's awesome. And loads of people use OpenStreetMap as well.
Absolutely.
I've got apps on my phone, my tablet, and Android, iOS, all that use OpenStreetMap as their data source. Brilliant. It's amazing.
Good stuff. Games developer Square Enix, or possibly Enix, famous for the Final Fantasy series of games, among others, has put its weight behind Google's native client technology. The technology allows native software to be distributed and run through the browser, allowing them to take full advantage of the hardware. Distributed.
Might be useful for anyone selling a laptop that had Chrome OS and a Chrome browser and nothing else on it.
That'd
be useful for Google.
That said, one of the whole things with the Chrome, because it's really cheap, because it's not got very powerful hardware, because it only has to run a browser. So therefore, it couldn't run 3D accelerated games anyway.
Yes. HP has announced that WebOS, the mobile operating system used by the Palm Pre and HP Touchpad, will be released to the community under an open source license. HP will continue to support and fund the project through a good, transparent and inclusive governance model. It's not yet clear whether HP plans to ship WebOS powered tablets in the future, devices in the future.
Yeah. So WebOS isn't dead.
No. Well, yeah.
If someone wants it, it's not dead.
Yeah.
If someone's prepared to give it the kiss of life.
The problem is that it's the most free of all of the platforms. It's the most Linux-like.
Yes.
It's the most free software-like of all of the platforms. So it's a shame that if it does die a death or become just the plaything of a few geeks here and there. That's a real shame.
So does anyone want to adopt it?
Tumbleweed.
In a potentially landmark software patent ruling in the USA, Apple have sought and got a ban on importation of Android-based HTC handsets taking effect in April next year. The ruling could put Apple in a strong position to successfully sue other handset makers and see Android pushed out of the US market.
Hooray for competition.
Yay, software patents are great. Yay.
It's not even a very good patent, though,
it's a really bad patent. Yeah. It's been around since 1999. Mm. And it was
They're
in my Nokia phone.
At straws then.
Mm. It is a real shame.
It's about highlighting a number or being able to dial it from an app.
Yes.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a reason.
It is good in that sense.
Oh, it's a useful feature.
But it's been around for years and nobody's ever bothered suing it before.
It's no more different than a hyperlink. You know, detecting a piece of text.
It looks like an email address.
Therefore, I'll make it a link. It's not innovative at all.
And lots of other mobile operating systems have done that for all years.
Yeah.
But maybe not before 1999.
I don't know.
That's a long time ago.
Get in my time machine. Okay. And that's all the news.
Mr. Scrooge, please let me have another piece of coal for the fire. It's colder than the relationship between Oracle and OpenOffice. My teeth are chattering and my fingers are so numb, I can barely press the keys on my VIC-20.
No chance. Every chunk of coal you waste on that fire eats into my bottom line. Where do you think you work, eh? This is Scrooge Enterprises, not Google. You'll want free lunches and training next. Don't you know we're in a recession? Money's tight.
Not for you, it's not.
Turn that racket off and get back to work. I want another 3,000 lines of code in Visual Source Safe before you go tonight.
But it's Christmas Eve. I want to get home to my family. I'll never have time to write the tests as well.
Tests? Pah, we'll just ship it as it is. Testing is what customers are for. I don't care if it works or not, as long as we can put it in the press release.
Instead of making me write all this software on my own, why don't we just release it as open source? And then tens of thousands of people could fix the bugs and write new features for us. And all we'd have to do is swan around pretending to manage a community.
Open source. Open source? Why would I give away all my code? It's the only thing I've got. If I made this software open source, how would I ever make money? Who'd pay you then? Open source, it makes me sick. All the beards, the shapeless t-shirts, the body odour, and the endless use of the word awesome.
But that's just IT.
Back to work, Cratchit. I'm going home. Remember to lock up when you leave.
Okay, Mr. Scrooge. You're the boss. You're the boss.
Thank you.
What's that? Who's there? Who's there, I say?
Ebenezer Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. I am the ghost of Christmases past, present, and yet to come. I've been sent here by your old business partner, Dave Morley, now deceased, to warn you. If you don't change your miserly ways, you'll end up just like him.
What, tortured in the afterlife?
No, a lab rummy in a baseball cap. You must repent and change your ways, Ebenezer. You must free your software and use it to make the world a better place for you and for everyone.
Pah! All this open source stuff, it's just liberal communism. The very idea of people writing software without a paycheck at the end of it. It's poppycock, I tell you.
Poppycock, eh? I'll show you how wrong you are. We're going to visit a Christmas long ago, in the 1990s.
What was that? Where are we?
We're in Finland, and it's 1991.
Why are we in this boy's bedroom? Isn't this going to cause some rather awkward questions?
No, it's okay. No one can see or hear us. We can only observe. Shh, listen.
Linus! No, not Linus. Linus! Linus! Come down for your tea. We've got some lovely meatballs in. Oh, that boy, spending all his time on his computer instead of talking to girls. Why can't you be more like your friend Mika? Such a lovely boy, always about meeting people at the racetrack.
Yes, ma'am. Just let me ride this driver for my new hard disk. Can't wait to upgrade my machine to a 50 megabyte hard drive.
Why is he wasting his time writing his own device drivers?
He's starting to write something that will run on thousands of computers of every size, all around the world, and he's not even being paid to do it.
Ha! The young fool. Well, even if there are lots of losers around the world who want to spend their time tinkering with this stuff, it doesn't mean it's going to make a commercially viable business. It doesn't mean we can make money out of it. It's just a hobby.
Is that so? Let me take you back to the present, and I'll show you what some of your competitors are doing this Christmas.
Where are we now? Look at that feast. Who are these men? Whose golden helicopter is that on the lawn?
We're at Matt Shuttleworth's secret mansion in the Himalayas. It's his helicopter.
Who's the one with the beard?
That's Chris de Bono, head of open source at Google. They're possibly the world's largest corporate open source code contributor.
Who's the one in the silly red hat?
Ah, that's Mark Ewing, one of the founders of Red Hat, also possibly the world's largest corporate open source code contributor.
And I suppose you're going to tell me Mark Shuttleworth is also the world's largest corporate open source contributor.
Oh look, there's Laurie Ellison, down on the children's table. He's co-founder and CEO of Oracle, who just bought Sun, and... Shh, listen.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Another excellent year making great free software for the world and making money doing it.
Yes, it's been a great year. We're expanding so fast we have to take anyone we can get our hands on.
Great idea, Mark Ewing, to have a Christmas dinner for leaders in the open source industry.
Thanks. You can just call me Mark, though.
Sorry, Mark Ewing, but we have to be able to distinguish you from Mark.
Then at least call him Mark Shuttleworth instead of just Mark.
But everyone knows who Mark is.
So, if this is a Christmas dinner for leaders in open source software, what are you doing here, Larry?
Ah, Mark Ewing. Well, I've got Java and MySQL and an open office. The spark's really gone out of this conversation. I think we need to drink. Bacon?
Yes, Master. Community.
More wine, Bacon.
Community. Yes, Master. Community.
Well, okay, even if they're making a bit of money from this open source communism, it doesn't mean I have to get involved as well. Even Nokia dumped Symbian for Microsoft. I'm doing just fine as I am.
Maybe you are, but what about those you need to make you successful?
help you with that, love.
Thanks, Bob. This cough just isn't going away. We really need to fix that damp. Maybe if you had a Christmas bonus, we could afford it.
Sorry, love. No Christmas bonus again. That old skinflint won't even give me another lump of coal for the fire. My fingers were colder than Yahoo when Steve Ballmer came a-calling with his checkbook. I couldn't type properly. I'm sure my code was riddled with bugs, and he just won't give me enough time to test it. He doesn't care about quality, his customers or me. He just wants to get our release out of the door every 6 weeks. I really need to find a new job.
Daddy, Daddy, can I have cheese and leeks for Christmas dinner this year?
Of course you can, little Laura. But because we're so poor, you'll have to have it without the cheese. Or the leeks.
I had no idea. How do they live like this?
You don't give them much choice, do you? You're meaner than the atmosphere at a joint Christmas party for Norm Shell and Unity developers. You hold on to every penny you can, but what good will it do you?
I'm going to be one of the richest businessmen in the world by the time I retire. I'm going to end my days lounging around on Necker Island.
Let's see, shall we?
Where on earth are we now? What a desolate place.
Welcome to Liverpool. Worse than Farnham, better than Wolverhampton. Over there is your final resting place.
What, next to that wheelie bin?
No, in the wheelie bin. It was all they could afford with what was left of your fortune.
A memorial wheelie bin. But at least I'll be fondly remembered, right?
Shh. Here come two unsavoury looking characters now.
Hey, did you hear? Scrooge finally kicked the bucket. Look, here's his wheelie bin. Here lies Scrooge, founder of Scrooge Enterprises. Gone. Collections on Thursday, no hot ashes. Bit of a come down though, eh?
What are you talking about? You're talking crap. The software is crap. It is only going to end one way. I predicted it on Jaiku.
Yeah, I know. When I was at the NHS... I used to know Bob Cratchit, who wrote all the code for him. He used to have a hell of a hard day's night. He used to say he needed 8 days a week just to get it all in. No wonder the company went bust when Bob left to look after his daughter, little Laura. All you need is love, he used to say to me. But Scrooge was all about the money, money, money.
That was ABBA!
Ah, sorry.
Old Scrooge lost all of his money. I heard he died without even two Ubuntu CDs to rub together.
Yeah, anyway, moving on. Those old craps aren't going to steal themselves, you know.
Why do I get involved with you on these stupid ideas of yours?
Who are they? What were they talking about? Did they mean me? It's not true. It can't be true. It's not possible.
It is true. This is your fate unless you change your ways.
No. 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 Well, where am I? Oh, I'm back home. I'm not in a wheelie bin. I'm not in Liverpool. What a horrific experience. I don't want to end up like that. I must put things right. I know, I'll open source all of my software. Right. I know, I'll telephone Simon Phipps. He'll know what to do. Hello, Simon Phipps? I want you to open source all my software for me. Yes, open source all my software. Yes, I know it's Christmas morning. No, I haven't been at the sherry. I'll send you all the source code over now. Ah, that feels so good. And it'll make Bob Cratchit happy. Bob! He'll be at home now with his sickly family in their damp hovel. I know, I'll send them a Christmas turkey. And some leeks. And some cheese! And I'll throw in an iPad. Hey! Urchin!
Who is you calling an urchin? Shut up, man!
Listen, here is a shiny Bitcoin.
Hey, quit throwing things at me!
Run down to the butcher's and buy the biggest turkey you can and take it round to the house of Bob Cratchit and tell him it's from Mr. Scrooge.
Is you on drugs? A turkey for a shiny Bitcoin? I do not even know what them words mean. Anyway, where do you expect me to find a butcher's on Christmas Day what is open? Man.
Thank you! Thank you! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas to you, and a Merry Christmas to everyone.
Hello, the Wing Commander's here. I hope I'm not too late. Have I missed the rehearsal? I had a spot of bother with the aeroplane on the way over.
Now it's time for the bit about Ubuntu.
Yay.
OMG Ubuntu have published an article demonstrating methods of customising Unity.
Who'd have thought it? I thought it was completely uncustomizable.
You just put up with what you're given, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's quite cool. Like, they show like some alternative versions of the Compiz plugin used for the dock, so you can have it displayed along the bottom and change the colour scheme and make it look a bit sort of KDE-ish.
So that's why you like it.
Colin Ian King has blogged about the various efforts being made to reduce power consumption in Ubuntu 12.04 LTS.
Okay, now this is going to make everything run for five times longer, is it?
Well, what he's done is actually they've come up with a script, and what they want people to do is charge their machine up, close all their applications, and run this script and see, and it takes some measurements after 8 minutes, and then you do something else and then run the script again. All the instructions are on his blog anyway. And gather that information and give it to them, because the script does some funky things like turning on and off power management in various ways, and they want to see whether that improves those changes cumulatively, improve battery life. I said cumulative.
Okay, so it also includes the patch that Matthew Garrett produced recently to fix the regression in power usage.
That was, we mentioned that a couple of episodes ago. Yes, he's also responsible for setting up that. This is a second round of tests.
Okay,
but these are super easy to do. You run a script and just leave your laptop alone. That's basically it for like 16 minutes, and then paste the results into a wiki page. Job done.
Okay, cool. So people should get involved, really?
Yes.
Over Christmas with nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Okay, next up.
Is you.
Is me. I'm fascinated about the power management thing. Oracle, those lovely people at Oracle, have revoked the operating system distributor license for Java, which allowed the Sun Java package to be distributed via apt and the Ubuntu Software Center. So, updates to the packages will remove existing installations that were distributed under the old license, and future installations will have to use OpenJDK or to be downloaded from Oracle directly.
Which is nice.
Boo!
Yeah. Well, there's nothing we can do. Oracle changed the license, and we can't distribute Sun Java. In fact, we have to remove it from the repository. Yeah. We can't even, like, say, okay, don't install this anymore. We actually have to delete it from the repository.
So, Oracle, after the whole debacle with Apache over whether there can be various things which are actually considered to be Java, have now decided that not only is there only going to be one thing that's Java, but you can't get it very easily.
Well, no, this is just for Java 6, because Java 7, Oracle Java 7, right, is based on OpenJDK.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I know. Who'd have thought it?
Oh,
I know. It's bizarre.
Okay, so but can we get...
It's because they've retired the license. It's not that they've specifically revoked us. It's the
license
because
overall.
It's based on OpenJDK, that makes no sense to have two licenses for distributing the same piece of code to the same people.
Right.
So they've retired the DJL or whatever it was called, DLJ.
But has 6 already been released with that license?
Yes, and they're revoking it.
Oh, so you won't get...
That's
you could
weird.
Use, presumably
sorry,
old...
retiring it.
Presumably it's an old version, but you'll get security vulnerabilities cropping up in it.
Well, that's the problem, and that's the reason why Canonical have decided to remove it from customers' users' machines
right.
is because right now you're vulnerable. And if you go to a right. website and it's being exploited out in the wild, and because it's a Java plugin in your browser, you could go to a website and think you're completely okay.
Yeah.
And the Java plugin gets sparked up and you're compromised.
Hmm.
So that's why they've removed it.
I didn't know you could do that with a license after it's been released, any license at all.
If you own it, yeah, you can.
Well,
yeah.
If it says in the license, we can revoke this
yeah,
at any point.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you read through the DLJ before you clicked I agree?
Yeah.
It's a good job somebody did.
It is a massive shame. And it's like, there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, well, you know, Canonical are reaching into your computer and removing something. And actually, it's for the benefit yeah. of the users.
Usually
they
do. They just, it's just normally they can replace it with something better.
Yeah, and we can't.
Yeah.
And it would be more confusing.
Better to replace it with nothing in this case.
Yeah, exactly. It would be more confusing for users if we replaced it with OpenJDK and then they got spurious, weird errors occurring. It's much better if they're left with nothing and then mm-hmm. they have to go and figure out how to get Sun Java, or their sysadmin does that or something. And everyone else is doing it as well. Red Hat, Debian, they're all doing this.
But so. Will this then go away when Java 7 is
yeah.
mainstream?
Yeah, because Java 7 is
OpenJDK.
We can distribute that because it's all based on OpenJDK.
So it's a blip.
It is. And you know,
when's Java 7 out?
It's out. It's in the repository.
Oh.
Okay.
So why can Sun, like Java 6 package just not upgrade to Java 7?
Because there isn't a Sun Java 7.
Sorry. Oh, there's not.
So users have Sun Java 6 on their machine.
Right. But
and we're removing
because
that.
Because that was the old thing and now, okay, yes.
And by the way, finding it confusing.
Yes. It's mad, isn't it? I'll put some links in the show notes because one of the security guys for Canonical has been on a few of the blogs and news sites and actually answered people's questions. And there's been lots and lots of questions about this. Mm. And I'll put the links to that because that answers most of people's questions.
Cool.
Sebastian Backer has posted to the Ubuntu desktop mailing list encouraging people to contribute to various projects, including a possible Norm Shell remix.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
It's basically a call for community contributors, really.
What's a remix of it?
Remix is...
I didn't know if remix was the official word.
Remix is the official word okay. for an Ubuntu derivative that isn't blessed. So
okay.
So Ubuntu, Kubuntu, Edubuntu, Zubuntu, Ubuntu Studio, and Mythbuntu are all official blessed derivatives.
Yes.
It's like naming the seven dwarfs, isn't it?
Yes, seven deadly sins.
So things like Ubuntu Studio are
blessed.
No,
blessed.
Ubuntu
blessed.
Studio, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. But well, I'm trying to think of another example of another one which would be a remix.
Mint.
Well, Ubuntu was a remix until it became an
right,
official.
There we go. Right.
You could say. It was an LXDE remix.
Satanic Edition.
Satanic Edition, yes.
Yeah.
It was a remix that wasn't supported
well, yeah,
or blessed,
I mean, yeah.
ironically.
It's the name that, I think it's the name that Canonical would like people to use for unofficial derivatives. So that it's clear that it didn't come from Canonical. It's not an official blessed. So that when a person is looking at it, they can say, oh, well, that's a remix, therefore it didn't come from the Ubuntu stable, as it were. It's someone else has taken it and spun it and done something different with it.
And the Ubuntu Software Center's payment system now supports PayPal.
Hurrah!
Excellent.
So it's even easier to spend your bank account on open source software or closed source software.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, you can already buy things through the Ubuntu One Music Store by paying through PayPal.
No, I think actually the Music Store, they switched it off. It was on right at the start. I know when I was beta testing you could, but I know they switched it off for a while. Now, I don't know if having it on the Software Center means you get it in the Music Store. I don't know.
Well, they said it was part of Ubuntu Pay. So if Ubuntu Pay is also how you buy stuff through the Music Center.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I've always paid through PayPal for the Music Store.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, I know they disabled it for a while.
That's just you they turned it off for, Alan.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they didn't trust me. Rightly so.
Too many Britney Spears records. And in the not about Ubuntu this time, Alan?
There's an open letter from the Apache Software Foundation to the Open Document Foundation community encouraging...
Open Document Format
Community. Open Document Format Community encouraging collaboration to put aside commercial and political differences. So this is Apache who have stewardship of OpenOffice.
Yes.
And the Open Document Foundation, which is LibreOffice and other things as well.
The Document Foundation is LibreOffice.
Yes.
The Open Document Foundation are the people who deal with the Open Document Format.
Right.
Just to confuse things.
Man.
In fact, I'm not sure that the Open Document Foundation is still called the Open Document Foundation. They might be called something else.
Just to confuse us.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
With a longer name so that they don't have the same acronym, basically.
We'll have a foundation segment next
year.
Clear all this up.
Yeah.
But the important thing is they want to cooperate.
They want everyone to get along and work on making ODF a really good format.
The People's Popular Front of Foundation.
Exactly. Splitters.
Front of documents. And that's all in the Not About Ubuntu and the Bit About Ubuntu this time. Remember that rather foolishly in the last episode we said we hadn't had a lot of feedback about Unity.
Boy, did we get a lot.
At this point, the floodgates then opened and we have had quite a lot. We have had to pare it down somewhat, but the highlights are as follows.
Mark Erickson emailed to say that he thought the DistroWatch figures show a dissatisfaction and concern and people looking around rather than actually changing yet. His problems with Unity as a professional web developer are...
I don't like the global menu. It works great for a notebook screen, which I don't have, and there's no option to disable it. The side launcher doesn't support adding custom launchers, so I can't add one there even if I want to. The desktop doesn't support launchers, and there's no menu bar for launchers.
Mark also had issues with Java programs. Alan and Tony had workarounds for most of these problems, which Mark hadn't known about. He did point out, however, that he'd rather not have to do workarounds.
Fair enough, and they probably don't work under OpenJDK anyway. Yes, it's Sun Java's going away, Mark said that will solve all of your problems. Rich Way emailed in.
I think the problems I've had with Unity are indicative of those of other power users. Computers are a tool, not a toy, have had. If Canonical believes it's in their financial interest to pursue the mobile market at the expense of the computer desktop, that's their right. Frankly, they're probably correct. However, they've done so at the expense of the quid pro quo volunteer marketing and testing relationship they've enjoyed with power users.
His problems with Unity include...
left-hand buttons. It's annoying to be right-handed and have to track across the screen every time you need to tap a button. Huh? Get a faster mouse. Dash.
That's the same. Surely that's the same if whichever hand you're using the mouse with. But anyway.
No, it's kind of like the virtual hand across the screen thing he means.
Oh, I see.
Dash, who thought it easier and space-saving to have the entire screen clogged up with confusing misplaced icons that have a couple of lists from drop-down launchers? Good news, that's going away. well, the first one is anyway. Launcher, I've yet to see any launcher on any desktop that was as handy as a properly configured toolbar, but this is the only one smart enough to reliably pop out when I don't need it and stay hidden when I do. Okay. Global menu. I'm working on a project and I have to track off the working area of my desktop to the top of the screen to search for its drop-down boxes. Search for, I say, because for some unknown masochistic reason, the drop-down boxes are hidden until the pointer hovers over them. Yeah, we get a lot of complaints about that.
Now, I can sympathise on the launcher thing with the bar popping out.
Mm.
Up until recently, I haven't had an issue, but I started to have to use Arda for mixing the Christmas Carol, which you've all just hopefully enjoyed.
Heard, at least.
And the
he spent days doing that.
The scroll bar is on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
So every time I went to scroll up and down using that scroll bar on the left-hand side, the menu popped out. The number of times I accidentally launched the wrong app or applications I didn't want at the same point.
I have mine permanently out.
Okay.
The launcher always on screen. I don't make it auto hide. I have it always out.
And then everything else just butts up to it rather than going behind it.
Yeah, you maximise stuff. It covers the bit that isn't the launcher.
Oh, yeah, because I had that problem with SPSS as well.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
I quite like it. I mean, it takes up some screen real estate over on the left hand side, but I've got a widescreen monitor, so I don't really care.
Yeah. Book emailed.
I tried Unity on my two machines at home when it first came to the desktop with an optimistic frame of mind.
His problems included the top and sidebars not playing nicely with Wine, which apparently breaks a lot of games.
I stuck with the interface for a month or so, but never found it to be anything other than unpleasant to use. In the end, I switched to Lubuntu, which in spite of a number of problems, e.g. switching keyboard layouts, feels like a huge improvement. I didn't leave in a huff, despite feeling pretty alienated by this new desktop interface, but I won't be running back to Unity anytime soon either.
Okay.
Fair enough. Isn't choice a wonderful thing? Steve Pierce posted on the Ubuntu UK mailing list some of the things he does like about Unity, including...
I love that I can launch applications and files in a few keystrokes. I can launch MEdit, for example, just by typing super M return, super being the super key.
The Windows key.
Yeah. Windows key. That's far less effort than most other desktop environments. I can pin the applications I use most often, which totals to only about 10 icons. And screen real estate has been greatly improved. I love that the window controls for each program collapses into the top bar when an application is full screened. It means that you can gain readable extra readable lines in a document or program, and it gives you a sense of total immersion in whatever it is you're working on.
Ubuntu, the total immersion distro.
Sounds sort of like what they've been saying they were aiming for, that sort of experience.
Yeah, I found I maximise everything up now. I never used to. I used to have scattergun like windows all over the place and then have to like go and find stuff. And now I just have everything full screen.
Yeah.
And I find that works quite well.
And finally, on this subject, Alan Cox and Jorvik on the Ubuntu UK mailing list posted...
All in all, Unity is being well received by novices that I introduce it to, with no hint of them wanting a hierarchical menu system. They're people that just want the computer to be an appliance, and Unity seems to suit most of them. Despite using computers for some time, some have now started using more than the mail client and the web browser, and even having more than one or two applications open at a time. They used to close applications they'd finished with using and open them again a few minutes later on and forget they had it open in another instance. I think Canonical Ubuntu is really onto something with Unity.
This is
one reason why my mum, I think, would love Unity. I've not upgraded her yet. She's still on LTS. I go around her house and her PC is on and she like leaves it on all day. It's quite low power. And if I wiggle the mouse and wake her desktop up, there's like 8 copies of Chrome open on the window list down the bottom. Because when she wants something, she just hits the Chrome button. Yeah. And whether it's minimized or what, she'll end up opening another one. Mm. Whereas this, if you hit the Chrome button, it just switches to Chrome.
Yeah.
And you don't end up with loads of copies of it running, which I think is good.
Yes, definitely a good thing.
Just for that one thing alone, that's worth Unity.
I don't seem to be able to open a second Terminator window.
Middle click. I can't middle click
because they disable middle click.
Oh, yeah.
Who disabled middle click?
Ubuntu.
Them.
The people.
Okay, press. If it's in the thing on the left-hand side, it's one of the icons, like, say it's the third one down, it'll be number 3. Yeah. You press super, shift, and then 3.
Okay.
And you'll get a new one.
We should have a Unity clinic each episode.
Do you know what? I've started writing up a how-to. I'm going to make a video showing how to do all of this stuff. Because once you know all those like keyboard shortcuts, super easy.
Okay.
Honest.
Fair enough.
Mark Exome left a comment on our website to say...
The Unity interface certainly seems to crop up regularly in your podcast, but there's very little mention of GNOME 3.2 and GNOME Shell. I've been experimenting with Ubuntu 11.10 for approximately 2 months, and since the launch of the extensions website, extensions.gnome.org, it is simple to download little tweaks and applications similar to applets in GNOME 2. I would like to suggest that you include a bit more discussion and evaluation about Ubuntu using the GNOME shell and extensions as an alternative to Unity.
Last week or the week before, I installed GNOME shell on my laptop and tried it out. It's really rather good.
I did too.
It's really nice, isn't it?
It is good. I've obviously got used to Unity, so I then had to un-get used to that. But yes, it seems to work quite well.
What's it like? I haven't seen it.
Similar to Unity in that you have a thing down the left-hand side and there's judicious use of the Windows key in order to find stuff. Mm-hmm. But I actually found it really quite intuitive. I know some people don't find Unity intuitive and don't find GNOME Shell intuitive or one or the other. I seem to be able to get on with both of them. I don't have a problem with either of them.
What's the difference between GNOME Shell and Unity from a user experience point of view?
It's hard to describe, really. When you tap the Windows key, you just tap it, you get a zoomed out view, like expose view of all your stuff you have open. Mm-hmm. And you also get down the right-hand side all the desktops, multiple desktops. So instead of you forcing yourself to switch to lots of different desktops, they're just there on the screen and you can drag stuff onto different desktops and you can easily switch between them. But they only switch vertically. You don't have like a grid of them and they don't have them side by side. They're all vertically one above the other. And they disappear when there's nothing on them. So if you've only got one desktop...
You've got N plus one desktop.
As soon as you move something, it starts another one, which is the same as the Mac, actually, on OS X Lion. does the same kind of thing. You get an extra one, okay. You drag stuff to it, and you get another one and another one.
I might have a look.
It really is quite nice, and it's pretty quick as well.
Cool.
Yeah. Some people, when I commented on Google Plus, I said, I've been trying out Gnome Shell, and I quite like it. They're all like, oh my God, you're allowed to say that. You're contractually obliged not to say that.
Yeah, that's in your contract.
I need to check that.
On a different subject, Mike Hingley emailed to point out something he'd just noticed.
You know how sometimes you notice something you think, huh, how did that sneak up on me? For example, I hadn't noticed the arrow in the FedEx logo.
Me neither.
Me neither. I suddenly started seeing how Microsoft has started referring to Windows PC. Not a PC running Windows, no, a Windows PC. It's interesting that they seem to me to be trying to build a link between the OS and the hardware. The UEFI debacle should be a sinister move towards cementing the idea that the PC runs Windows, not BSD or any other operating system.
Could be a sinister move, he says.
Did he? No, not I don't think he said that. I may have misread that.
I'm sure that's what their marketing people would like to put across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
PCs run Windows.
Probably doesn't mean a lot more than that, but...
What are they afraid of? I mean, what would a PC run if it wasn't running Windows? Well, like, when a person goes into a shop, they don't go, I would like to buy a Windows PC.
Yeah, well, actually, I think it actually seems like it's the wrong way, because their previous marketing campaign, I'm a PC, it just said PC, you know, and the assumption was... I'm a PC, therefore I run Windows. But now they're saying Windows PC, assuming that there's a different
an alternative.
Kind of PC.
Yeah, they're helping us, really, aren't they? Yeah, I'm an Ubuntu PC.
Exactly.
Oh, you could do a marketing campaign.
Thank
around
you.
That.
Double plus ungood. Alan is now going to say something.
Sorry, I scrolled. New listeners do email to say...
I don't have Ubuntu on any device yet, but I tuned into one episode about a year ago as a mate was appearing on the show. I wanted to hear him in action just in case there's an opportunity to take the mic. Nice.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I was so absorbed by the feel of the show, I continued to listen despite only understanding about one segment in 10. What I did understand was the natural chemistry and fun feel you lend to a subject which could be incredibly dry in the wrong hands. Around a dozen episodes later, it's finally convinced me to install Ubuntu on my laptop.
Right.
Wow.
Really looking forward to having a little more of a clue about what's going on in the podcast, and I just want to say how good the show is, and that if some unknown voices can engage me on a subject of which I know absolutely nothing, it means what they are saying and doing must be brilliant.
Oh.
I thought it was
a
really nice
email.
That's
the nicest thing ever.
There you go. So all we have to do is confuse people about Ubuntu, then they're going to install it just to find out what the hell we're going on about.
Yes.
That's clearly the message.
It's great that he thinks we know what we're doing.
Yeah. And he seems to think we're the right hands for the topic.
Yeah. The natural chemistry as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, what can I say?
You all.
We're not dry.
Well, right. And finally, a little soup song from the very Reverend Peasgood.
Oh, God.
Hello. This is the Reverend Mortimer Peasgood speaking to you from the vestry at the Church of St. Cuthbert in the village of Withering-on-the-Vine. I hope you're having a pleasant festive season. And don't forget the often overlooked Christmas message, batteries not included. This is an appeal, not for money, although if you wanted to donate to the Church Roof Fund, I won't stop you. No, this is an appeal for ideas. Since we last spoke, the new bishop has sent me a young man to serve as deacon of St. Cuthbert's, under strict instructions to make us more relevant. Well, I ask you, since when has relevance had anything to do with the Anglican Church? Anyway, Deacon Duncan Dunn, or Dunk as he likes to be called, turned up the other week wearing a leather jacket and jeans and riding a hog, a Harley-Davidson motor bicycle, as I believe it's known. It's rather loud, scared the living out of the Women's Institute, I can tell you. Since then, I have been struggling to adapt my sermons to the information age. I tried the Good Samaritan as the good Facebook programmer, but it didn't seem to work. So I am appealing to you for ideas for a good moral sermon in tune with the technological age. I've got nothing myself, just a notepad headed with the words, "Jesus is my mouse mat. Any help would be appreciated. Goodbye."
Wow.
Deacon Duncan.
Deacon Dunkey.
Deacon Duncan Dunn.
Wow. Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Peasgood, for your informative feedback. I hope you get everything you were looking for Christmas. And that's the end of that marathon feedback session. So we'll crack on with the next bit.
And that's all for this episode and indeed this season. Thank you for listening and thank you for all your feedback. You can find out how to get in touch with us on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org, including voicemail numbers and Twitter feeds, Facebook and IRC channels. Let us know what you think of the show or give us your thoughts about Ubuntu and the community around it. And that's it for 2011. We'll be back in 2012 at some point. Not sure when yet. Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It doesn't say at some point in the little script thing, does it?
Sorry. Do you want me to reread that?
No, it's fine. Well, it's been a long season. It's been a fun one.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for coming along every couple of weeks and talking with us.
And joining
I thought you were talking
room.
To the listeners, though.
Well, I am, but I'm also talking to the people in the room. It's for once, I've reached the end of the season and I'm not ill.
Oh, yes. But we are on holiday.
Yes.
Hurrah.
Join us.
Have a good Christmas, everyone.
See you next year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.